Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1999, the writer Stephen King was in a pretty horrible accident. He was walking home on a country road to his home in Maine when a van struck him. The guy driving the van was distracted by his dog that was in the car with him. When he hit him, and King flew over the kind of the hood and hit the window of the van and went off to the side, and he was right on the edge of a kind of a cliff. He survived, okay, all right. But he broke a leg, he broke a hip, he punctured a lung, broke his ribs, smashed his head up pretty bad. And when he finally came to, and they were telling him about how close he was to death, they asked him, what was he thinking, right? Someone asked him, what were you thinking? And this is what he said. He had one word, gratitude. Stephen King, if you know anything about him, he's a very avowedly irreligious person, okay? He doesn't really care much at all about this, but on faith, but on this one occasion, he perceived the very goodness of a divine influence in the outcome of that situation. When someone later was asking him about the culpability of the van driver, you know, the one that actually did this to him, King had this to say. He says, it is God's grace that the driver of the van is not responsible for my death. And just think about that. He has gratitude. And he's asked about, you know, what for yourself, what do you have? It's gratitude for his own life. Okay, but not only gratitude for his own life, he can see even more is gratitude for the sake of someone else. That this other guy doesn't have to deal with, you know, what to live the rest of his life, knowing that he was responsible for someone else's death. He could see in this kind of horrible situation, he saw gratitude in the most unlikeliest of circumstances. So gratitude. Just today, we want to just reflect here. It's from James. It's James chapter 4. To help us think about gratitude. He says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such town. We'll spend a year there, we'll trade, we'll make money. Yet you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes. Instead, say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows what's the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So life, he says, is misty. It's misty. It's like a mist. Life is things that we might say, things I thought I could once count on, they can easily disappear. They can easily be taken away in just a moment, right? Just a moment can be all taken away. Just as you reflected many Thanksgiving years ago, right? The things that you relied on could be just taken, right? Taken. And that's how it can be, right? The things that we think are beautiful, wonderful, like they seem like they're stable and secure, it's like a cloud. It seems solid, but you reach, you grasp it, and it's gone, right? It's nothing there. Things that we think are solid are really mist. And with mistiness comes pain. In the mistiness, we can let our life be dictated by this situation. Or we can live with this reality that our life is hidden in Jesus. Right? Our life is hidden in him. And there are a lot of things that we just will never understand. We know that it's hidden with him. But how do we live in a misty world? A misty world. I think a King can help us think about that. It's this one word is gratitude. Gratitude. Paul will say, you know, give thanks, rejoice always, give thanks in every situation, in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, maybe that's one that we might have committed to memory. But you know, to think about it, he doesn't say give thanks for all situations, for all circumstances. He says give thanks in them, in every situation. You see, God is good. There's no shadow in him. There's no turning. James earlier, he says that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father in heaven. That's who God is. There's not one ounce or hint of evil within him. His compassion, it's like the rain that falls. It's indiscriminate. It's for everyone. It's unconditional, kind of unilateral. It's like the sun that shines down. He's always showering out his gifts on people. But our own rebellion and our own sinfulness kind of messes that all up. And has brought a cloud of kind of spiritual pollution into the world. And so if we think of God's blessings and love to come down like the rays of light, then the sin of this world is like polluted clouds, right? That prevent that sun, that light from shining through. We live in a dark world, right? Darkened by much evil, where God's blessings don't always come to us for reasons that we'll never understand, right? And things that are just really just too complex for us. There are things that are hidden from us that we will never understand. You might ask, why is this thing happening right now? Why is this going on? And we just don't know. Sometimes the blessings do get through. Sometimes they don't. And when they do, we give thanks. We give thanks. Because if it was not for God continuously, indiscriminately, bringing his blessings to this world, it would be dark all the time. And so we give thanks. We give thanks. We have gratitude to God because he deserves it. The next thing that we might think about is why it's important to give thanks is because we're just kind of wired for that. We're made to give thanks. We're at our best only when we are giving thanks. You know, if I were to ask you, you know, what makes you happy? What makes you happy? You might say, well, a big Thanksgiving meal, right? That might make me happy. Okay, I know that would make me happy, right? Or it's spending time with family, or being with my family, it makes me happy. Or taking a trip, a vacation, you know, down to some sunny, warm place, right? When it's cold here, right? That might make me happy. There's lots of things we might think make me happy. There's a group of researchers that for like the last 50 years, they've been working on this kind of project of about happiness. It's a kind of the happiness project. And so they're trying to find out what makes people happy. And so they've worked with not just Americans, but throughout many different nations, different kind of cultures, different economic classes, ages, it's kind of all over. So they've been, you know, thoroughly trying to see what really makes people happy. And they have found that it is this one common denominator to happiness is gratitude. Gratefulness, thankfulness. That when we practice gratitude, we end up being happier. And not only happier, they have found that it does lots of other things, right? When we are practicing thankfulness, our blood pressure goes down, okay? Our cholesterol improves, okay? So your heart is better. And if that weren't enough, it'd be great. But even other things they have found is that, you know, relationships are better. They have found love lives are better, right? When we are thankful, right? It's a reason to give thanks, right? For these things. Lots of improvements, right, into people's lives when they are practicing, making a habit of thankfulness. Giving thanks, you see, in every situation. Gratitude, it has a great power as we appreciate the gift of the moment. Gratitude can free us from past regret. It can free us from the anxiety of the future to practice this kind of singular kind of moment of thankfulness right now. We can be freed from the envy of things that we do not have. We can be freed from that displeasure of who we're not. Now, it does not make life perfect. Just being thankful does not somehow, it's not a panacea, it's not a magic, you know, kind of cure to making life better, okay, that perfection. But it can help us improve this piece, is that in this moment, I can recognize that I have enough and that I am enough. Give thanks in every situation, even in this moment, even in this moment. The pastor and devotional writer, Henry Nouwen, he knew this, and he wrote this about gratitude. He says, gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. I can choose to be grateful even when my emotions and feelings are steep and hurt and resentful. It's amazing how many occasions present themselves in which I can choose gratitude instead of a complaint. I can choose to be grateful when I'm criticized, even when my heart responds in bitterness. I can choose to listen to the voices that forgive and to look at the faces that smile, even while I still hear words of revenge and see grimaces of hatred. You see, here he's saying that gratitude is a choice, right? A decision that we make. But just because it's a choice does not mean that it's easy. Gratitude is not easy. We have to work at it. We have to cultivate it. Albert Einstein once said this, when thinking about gratitude. He said that he had to remind himself 100 times a day that his inner life and his outer life depended on the labors of other men, living and dead. He says this, I must exert myself in order to give in the measure as I have received and I am still receiving. G.K. Chesterton, he said this. He says, the test of all happiness is gratitude. So Christmas is coming up. He goes on, he says, children are grateful when Santa Claus puts in their stockings gifts of toys or sweets. Could I not be grateful to Santa Claus when he puts in my stockings the gift of 2 miraculous legs? We thank people for birthday presents. Can I thank no one for the birthday present of my birth? See, if we have eyes of gratitude, we will never lack the opportunity to give thanks. Never lack of the opportunity to be happy. Because around every corner is another gift given to us. It's there waiting to surprise us. And it will surprise us if we can stop, you know, making our sinful tendency, which is to compare, to take things for granted, to be entitled. You know, the thing about Chesterton, he was raised in a home without any faith. He grew up as of an atheist, a non-believer. Yet throughout his life, he was then had this overwhelming sense of gratitude for his own life, for love and for beauty in the world, for everything that was. He was filled with this enormous sense of thankfulness and needing to thank someone for it. He says, how can I be thankful unless there is someone to thank? That mysterious riddle to his life, it led him to this point when he was 48 years old. He became a Christian because he knew he had to thank someone. He had to thank God. So to help us practice gratitude, right? So everyone's got your post-it notes, okay? There's 100 slips, okay, in a stack, all right? Take them home, right? And what I want you to do is as you see things that you were thankful for, put a post-it note on it. And so maybe it's on the mirror, a bathroom mirror, okay? And you can be thankful for, what do I have eyes that see? Okay? Maybe it's on the doorway to the house, you know, your front door. I am thankful for this home. Right? So on the fridge, right, it's I'm thankful that there is food to eat. On the kids' bedroom doors, right? Even when you might not want to be thankful. Be thankful, right? I'm thankful for these children, right? There's all kinds of things. Put it on the car, right? Thankful for the car, right? Put it on the computer. I'm thankful that I have this tool, right? You can think, right? As you begin thinking of things that you're thankful for, right? Hopefully you can find 100 things, right? The more you do it, the easier it will become to give thanks, right? Kind of use your creativity to think about it. It doesn't have to be big things. It could be, I'm thankful for the window, right? It's the window that I can keep that cold outside, right? Or I'm thankful for the weather, right, that is out, right? All the ways, just think about what can you be thankful for? Maybe in a family, you can kind of challenge yourself to see who can be more thankful, right, than the others. Practice it, because it takes work. It takes work to cultivate thankfulness, like a continuous thankful heart and spirit. In the end, gratitude, it leads us back to the gospel, because it comes from the gospel. Gratitude is more than being polite. You know, that's kind of how I was kind of taught. It's just, you say thank you because it's polite. This is more than just being polite and being kind or being nice. Gratitude is transformational. It changes who we are. Let us never forget for a moment what God has done for us, both here in this kind of temporal existence, but also what he has done for us eternally, for our eternal life in Christ. And let that be the thing that drives us and moves us, so that we can wake up and that we can be alert and we can be open to surprising things that we might be thankful for. Give thanks and praise, and then to discover a fullness of life in Christ. In his name, amen.